Hi, welcome to the Subway ad for $2.99 subs. How would you like it?
I'll take Drill Sergeant, please.
You got it.
All right, now listen up. I want each and every one of you to drop and give me a 6-inch meatball marinara, cold cut combo, veggie delight, or Black Forest ham on your choice of bread with any veggies you want for just $2.99 each.
Sir, yes, sir!
Subway! Make it what you want at participating restaurants. Additional charge for extras plus applicable tax. No additional discounts or coupons may be applied.
This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast from BFM 89.9. I'm Meera Sivasudi. Now, after 8 years on the air, we're bringing the Bigger Pictures Health and Living to you, live, on the ground. A whole day with the experts, debunking myths behind heart disease and diabetes, addressing our love affair with food, and of course, George will be there talking about sperm. So join us at BFM's Health and Living Live 2016 on Saturday, 2nd of April. Go on and register at bfm.my/health.
BFM 89.9, the business station. It is that time tonight.
That time tonight?
Yeah, it is. That time tonight. That time of night, of course. It is hot tonight.
It is pretty hot.
We're in the middle of a heat wave, right?
Are we? Because
I think
it's been raining quite a bit now.
Yeah, it was a bit of rain this morning, right? Mm-hmm. I didn't get much at my place, though. But you got some, right?
Heavy rain.
I know,
right?
You did. I know one of our interns was stuck in traffic because of rain and one
actually,
thing
or another. Actually, there's only one. Quite a number of people have been stuck on traffic because of accident.
Today? Mm. Where was that?
I think along Federal Highway.
Really? Oh, mm. I hope you're safe, everybody.
Anyway, guys.
Yeah, also to the people of Belgium, stand fast. Right, we have a guest this evening, of course. It is Andy Darryl Gomez. Welcome to the show, sir.
Hey, welcome.
How are you?
I'm good. I'm really good.
You're good, huh?
Yeah.
Good.
You're all dressed up like Dan Street.
You're looking all very nice and smart, right?
Yeah, I was surprised you walked into the studio. Before that, we met him at Papa Ridge.
We did, right? So we're sat outside, guys, having our little bit of dinner and a bit of a head-to-head, having a cup of tea and a few things or other. And I'm like, I'm sure I know that fella. And of course, he's our guest for the evening, and he came and joined us for dinner and a few little bits.
Yes.
So, Andy, tell the people at home who are listening and tuned in, what is it that you do?
Well, what I do is that I tell stories and I teach. There's two things that I do pretty much.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I tell stories but don't teach very well. So what is it that you you teach?
What do I teach?
What do you teach, yeah?
Well, basically I teach speech and drama.
Oh, you do?
Uh-huh. I was in speech and drama when I was younger.
So what happened then?
I had to stop.
Why did you stop?
Because I had to focus on my studies.
Because you already had enough drama in your life?
Maybe.
You still have enough drama going off in your life?
Nah, no drama.
No drama, really?
No drama.
Right. So where are you teaching right now then, Andy?
Well, I used to teach in centres and homeschools and places like that. But currently, I've been doing workshops and stuff at Institute of Higher Education like UPM and Uni10. Yeah, and hope to have a workshop soon that will be open to the public because the things that I usually do is very enclosed.
Right,
so we open it up for everybody.
That'd be great.
Yeah.
So from what I understand, you started off majoring in English linguistics?
Yes, correct.
And then performing arts at University of Putra Malaysia? Is that what you're doing?
Yes, correct. Previously.
Okay. What is it? Why is your interest with linguistics and what is it about performing arts that kind of appeals to you?
Well, what happened was I would say I got into linguistics by accident because that's how our government system worked. You know, when you're going to get into a government university, pretty much they will select for you. But that was my first choice, which is what I'm happy about.
Right.
Yeah. But then eventually what it did was there's this class called social linguistics where they really teach you about human behavior and how we speak and why we speak that way.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And later on, when I did performing arts, and you're required to observe people and just watch how they move, how they talk. It just teach you a lot of things about people.
Right.
So both these things really came hand in hand.
It's fascinating, right?
Very fascinating.
Just to sit and people watch. People, you know, they kind of forget about that skill. And I think, for people who are in performing arts and anything like that, just sitting, being quiet in a public space, I think is an important thing.
It is.
You know, and I think we've kind of lost sight of that, right?
Correct. I really agree with that. You know, there's this thing that Picasso used to say, you know, paintings cannot be taught, it can only be found. That means you can't sit down and say, oh, no, I'm going to come up with something. We have to go out there, observe and come back with
right.
it. And then you'll find it.
Get right. inspirations yeah. and everything.
So, I mean, let's say, for example, you were working on a character or you were one of your clients or one of your students or whatever is working on a character. Where would you send them and say, go and watch people? You know, in KL, for example.
What I do is that it's either that you go and observe people, but I do believe that we carry a piece of the character in us.
Right. Mm.
So what I do is that I look at the script, I look at them, and I see how do you relate to the character? Mm. What happened to you when you were young?
Right.
What did your parents do and all that? And when we find this point, we will get this ability to draw emotions out from empathy, you know?
Right.
So we walk in the character's shoe. That's what I get my actors to do normally.
That's a great idea. Mm. So, I mean, who are the kind of, for you, who are your big inspirations in terms of playwrights, in terms of writers, authors?
Well, I think I owe it big time to Yasmin Ahmad, actually. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I accidentally saw her film Sepet when I was 15 years old, and it changed my life. I don't think I'll be doing any of the things that I do today if it wasn't for the fact that I accidentally saw her film when I was 15.
Right. Yeah. I think a lot of people will say this very similar kind of thing. What was it about her particular work that changed things for you, do you think?
Well, I think myself being pretty mixed in Malaysia, you know, at that time, I used to look at my friends and, you know, how there's one group of Malays there, one group of Chinese, and one group of Indians there. You know, they can't intermix, but I was the only one that was able to move from one group to another. Mm. So that was the impression of Malaysia that I had at that time. And as when I watched Yasmin's film, I felt that, oh, this woman knows how it feels like to be in this country. She understands my point of view. Mm. So that was when I really felt it, you know?
I think in some ways, the ways in which she portrayed Malaysia is almost like an external observer sometimes. You know, that's how I saw it when I saw some of her stuff as well. And being somebody who's from outside of Malaysia, looking at her body of work, I can kind of see that as well. Would you agree with that?
Well, actually, she used to say that she never intended to make films about Malaysia. She intended to make films about people.
Right.
And that's when people is universal. You know, no matter where you are around the world, you will understand because humanity is a very white thing. But the country has so much flavor, she can't help it that it crept into her works.
Right.
Yeah, so that was what exactly happened.
Yeah, I mean, I remember the very early on when I first moved here to Malaysia, and when I first moved to KL, in fact, I was riding on the MRT or one thing or another, and I just kind of remember just looking around and seeing all the diversity of people.
Beautiful.
And listening to all of these different languages and you know, different accents and whatever. I'd never really been exposed to that, coming from a very small town. Wow. And then I moved to China, which, as you can imagine, is one language, essentially, but with, you know, very different dialects. Mm. But being here and hearing English and hearing Tamil and hearing Cantonese and hearing Malay, everything all together, I was like, whoa. You know, I can understand why people love this place. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? All right, it's time for us to take a very short break. We've got some ads coming up in a minute. We've got a little bit of music from 21 Pilots. Just to let you know, folks, I didn't pick the music tonight. So if you are interested in what the music is like tonight, please do give us some feedback to find out how well our interns did tonight. Gave them a little bit of, you know.
Also, not to forget, we'll have a giveaway tonight. We're giving away 150 ringgit vouchers, all thanks to Pestle & Mortar. Now, just answer this question. Tell us who invented the scissors. Send your name and your IC number to 01620119000. Don't forget to tell us why you deserve to win as well.
Okay, folks, we're going to take a very short break, like I just mentioned. Long day, you see. We will be back after these messages with Andy Daryl Gomez. I'm Rich. This is Adeline. This is some ads. Don't go anywhere. Welcome back, folks. That was 21 Pilots with Tear in My Heart. You're listening to That Time of Night here on BFM 89.9. I'm Rich Bradbury.
And I'm Adeline Jung.
In the studio with
Andy Daryl Gomez.
He's with us all the way through until 9 p.m. Now, Andy, before we get back, I just want to quickly announce that we do have a giveaway this evening. 016-201-9000.
Yes, we're giving away 150 ringgit vouchers, all thanks to Pestle & Mortar. Now, answer this question. Tell us who invented the scissors. Send your name and your IC number to 016-201-9000. Don't forget to tell us why you deserve to win as well.
See, now, go on.
Yeah, go on.
Oh, no, I was going to say, Umar earlier on had a, you know, his whole show was about who really invented Batman. We're asking who invented the scissors.
Yes.
It's kind of related, right? So you had a question, right?
Yeah, I have a question for Andy. Now, you've played a role in Ola Bola. Now, tell us more about it.
It's a very small character, actually. I played a guy in the office. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was the main colleague in the office. Yeah.
Aha. Mm. How does it feel to be part of Ola Bola?
Well, to begin with, I think I'm working with very good people, actually.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. That's most important, right?
Yes, I believe that. Yeah, definitely. What happened was, I was actually helping them with casting, just a little bit, because the casting director came to find me to recommend actors.
Okay.
Yeah, and then eventually one day she asked me, hey, can you act? And I was like, oh, yeah, I was trained as an actor. So that's when I went in and auditioned for it, and that's when I got the role.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
Yeah, so on set, I felt that even though it was a very big production, Director Chu is a very kind man, you know. He controls the set very fondly and everything. Uh-huh. He came, he danced with us. And so nobody was stressed out. It was just a very healthy environment to work with, lah.
Oh, good stuff. Yeah. Good stuff. Let's keep on the subject of film then. Mm. So last year you kind of started experimenting with films as a way of telling stories, right?
Yes, correct.
Tell us about that.
Well, I've been doing films for about a year now, actually.
Yeah.
Just trying to experiment different mediums of storytelling. Yeah. So far, I've recently made a film, actually, called Bubbles, mm-hmm. which stars Thespian and James and this newcomer, Stephen Soon. Mm. Yeah, so I'm currently in the process of sending out film festivals and see where it goes.
Right. Mm-hmm. Mm. So you've gone from, like, doing stage work to making films then?
Kind of. I wouldn't call it a transition. A transition. It's more like a natural progression.
Progression. Yeah. Uh-huh. So, yes. Which do you prefer? Do you think? You know, the language and the workings of on stage work, or the language and the workings of, you know, filmmaking.
That's the thing. I don't think I could ever choose, actually, because my loyalty has always been to the story, not to the medium.
Right.
Yeah, you know, I play around with the mediums a lot. So as long as I think that story needs to be communicated, maybe through film, then I'll take on the film medium. If it's stage will serve it better, then I go to the stage.
So it's the nature of the story then, rather than anything
correct.
Else. Okay. So tell us, you know, what is the stories that you've been looking into recently? What do you think over the last month or so? Right, that we've seen in local press or world news or whatever. What do you think would make a good story right now that people would want to
watch,
relate
to,
in, you know, in one way or another?
Well, as in, like, what's going on out there?
Yeah.
Mm. Well, let me think.
Let's stay away from politics. Let's stay away from religion. But you know, I mean, there's some good stories out there right now. I mean, where do you pick your ideas from? Where do you get your inspiration for the stories that you want to tell?
Well, I write a lot from experience. I wouldn't say sometimes it's autobiographical, but then it's from the landscape of my memory. Sometimes some people tell me something. Mm. Sometimes I hear something from someone else. Sometimes I see something happen to somebody else. And sometimes I myself experience it. Mm. So like what Picasso said, you can't find paintings. Yeah. I know, you can't think of paintings. You have to find it.
Yeah.
So that's when you go out there, you live life and you come back.
I think you're right. And I think even though when you are writing something or when you do try to detach from that, I think it's impossible. I think there's always an internal dialogue happening, you know. And I think that will always come through in the work that you're doing, right? Would you agree with that?
Very true.
All right, okay. So at the end of the you just mentioned Bubbles there.
Yes.
A short film about an Indian mother and a Chinese son.
Yes, correct.
Tell us a bit more about it.
Well, to begin with, it's actually not really a story about race, actually. Race is just the setting, you know, because I thought you would add interesting subtext to the film. But at the core of it, it's about human beings, actually, and, you know, dealing with hurts and stuff. It's about two very different people with similar hurts. Yeah, because the reason why race was involved was because I remember when Yasmin said this particular thing, that when two people hated each other, it's never about race, actually. If you were to scratch the surface and go a little bit deeper, it's always about human weakness, you know, whether the person is jealous, or the person has fear, or the person is greedy. So I wanted to explore that through the film. Okay. So I thought to myself, maybe if I were to show an Indian mother and a Chinese son constantly fighting and suppressing one another, I can cheat the audience into thinking that it's about race.
Right.
And then later on, as the story progresses, you see they fight about what every mother and son will fight about. Right. Have you paid the bills?
Right.
Have you done
your
this?
Your room is messy. You've not washed your dishes, that kind of stuff. I mean, these are everyday stories, right?
Yes.
But like you say, it's something that in you have it, this core problem. And it's like an onion almost, you know? So you have your core problem in the middle and these layers and layers and layers around it. But when you peel them away, what you're left with is the same problem that everybody has
all the
time.
Beautifully put, yes,
right.
I agree.
Okay, folks, if you want to get in touch, we are at BFM Radio or at BFM TTON. Of course, we do have a giveaway running this evening. 150 ringgit worth of vouchers by our friends over at Pestle & Mortar. They do expire at the end of this month, though. So if you want to take part, you've got to get involved tonight.
Yes, that's right. So to win, just answer this question. Tell us who invented the scissors. Send your name and your IC number to 016-201-9000. Don't forget to tell us why they deserve to win as well.
It's easy. Just get on Google. It's one of those alleged invented scissors, I think. You know, because the guy who invented the scissors, according to our answer, could well have invented a whole bunch of other things.
Quite a lot, actually.
Quite a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, we need to take a break. Some ads coming up. We've got a bit of Rolling Stones coming up. And some Pixies all together in the next few minutes. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to That Time of Night here on BFM 89.9, the business station. little bit of the Pixies there with Here Comes Your Man here on That Time of Night on BFM 89.9. I'm Rich Bradbury.
And I'm Madeline Chung.
In the studio with
Andy Diego Gomez.
Okay, folks, quick reminder, 0162019000. We are giving away 150 ringgit worth of vouchers from Pestle and Mortar. All you got to do is answer this question for us.
Tell us, who invented the scissors? Send your name and your IC number to 0162019000. Don't forget to tell us why do you deserve tuna as well.
Moving swiftly along then, we have news from page two.
What's all the shouting?
Richard, you first.
Okay, so if you've been following this story on social media, you'll know what I'm talking about. And if you haven't, then you won't. Mm-hmm. That's why I'm going to tell you the story. So Shackleton, Endeavour, Falcon, and, you know, a few of the names. These are some of the names that have been suggested for the United Kingdom's new state-of-the-art polar research vessel. Mm-hmm. Vessel. It's slated to take to the seas in 2019. Mm-hmm. So it's... the British Natural Environment Research Council asked the public to help think of possible new names for this ship, right? Mm-hmm. So this ship represents a leap forward in securing Britain's place as a world leader in marine and climate change science. Okay. It's an incredibly important ship, right? Mm-hmm. It's worth an awful lot of money. And they asked the general public online to vote for what they think the name of the boat should be.
I'm just
right?
Received a lot of weird names.
It
right?
had a lot of suggestions, but currently leading the poll is Boatimate Boatface.
No way.
This is the Boatimate Boatface. This is my people who are voting for this, you know? A whole bunch of people have got behind this.
They that name's the top one.
It's the top one.
What's the second one? I'm curious.
A huge, huge margin. The other one, there's a whole bunch of them, Addy. I can't remember what the second one is. Uh-huh. David Attenborough is another one. They wanted to call it HMS David Attenborough because, you know, obviously he's, you know, involved with biology and chemistry, everything. The world, you know, if you've ever seen Planet Earth and you've heard David Attenborough kind of narrating, it sounds right to name it HMS, you know, David Attenborough.
Have they set the name now?
No, but the people behind it, you know, have actually said, look, if this happens, it happens. And we will run with that because that's what the general public want. Mm-hmm. So this is the danger of using social media, right? Mm-hmm. To kind of gather a name for something or whatever. So if you remember just a few years ago, Justin Bieber did a poll in 2010 to decide where his next tour destination should
perform,
be.
Yeah.
And so many people voted for North Korea, which sounds about right, right? There was another one for a whale in 2007. Greenpeace wanted to track a group of whales in the South Pacific in an attempt to stop them from being hunted. So they decided to hold an online poll to name the animals, right? Mm-hmm. You remember what they called it?
What?
Mr. Splashy. Right?
Names, man.
These little things like that. And like Pitbull, you know the artist Pitbull, right? He said he held this competition in conjunction with Walmart.
Yeah.
And he said, you know, where should I perform next? Mm-hmm. So many people got involved and they voted him to go and perform in Alaska in a town where there's like 25 people.
So, Richard, if you're given a chance to actually name a boat,
I'd name it David Attenborough. Good. It makes perfect sense. You know, they should be doing that. But I've got to give it to them. Boatimate Boatface, that's inventive.
It's creative. Quite catchy.
It's quite catchy. But imagine emblazoned on the side of Britain's most important research vessel. Please.
Give it history, man.
Right, there you go. So, Andy, you got a story for us, right?
Yes. When it happened in America, what happened was this lady was at the counter and she wanted to pay for whatever was there.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And there was this guy who was scrambling for his wallet, you know, and that's when she realized that, hang on, this guy forgot to bring his wallet.
Uh-huh. So it happens to me all the time.
That's why I have to pay the bills.
Oh, boom.
Okay, guys.
We've thrown him off.
Yeah. So what happened was she decided to pay for him. You know, it was just 7 ringgit worth of fruits.
Right.
So, but what she was doing was she was wearing his T-shirt of this, you know, NGO that she serves for, which is a cancer research center.
Okay.
Yeah. And the next thing you know, that very guy turned out to the office where she works in and donated 10,000 ringgit. Sorry, 10,000 US dollars.
Wow.
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, so it really does to pay... you know, it really does pay to pay it forward then, you know?
Correct.
If you see somebody struggling, you know, without their change or whatever at the counter, would you do that, Adeline?
I would.
Right. Next time, I'm going to forget my wallet and I'm going to be standing there patting my
pocket. Well, you've done that many times, right?
Well, you know. But, oh, I mean, really?
Yeah. I've interviewed a lady recently for Ticket to Ride, the travel show, and she went to Iran all by herself and she went into the store to buy an SD card. But she, because it was too expensive, she didn't have enough money. So she walked out of the shop and the guy stopped her. The cashier stopped her and said that, Come back. I'll give it to you. Just take it. SD card. It's not cheap.
Yeah,
and she's like, no, I'll pay you half the price. He's like, no, just take it.
Somebody's needs, right?
Yeah, but SD card.
Okay, what have you got?
Oh, scientists, laboratory, and meatballs.
Okay, I don't know where this is going to go. Those three things in one sentence is dangerous.
So apparently scientists say have created the first ever laboratory ground meatball, okay, which did not require the death of a cow.
Okay, right.
So it smells like meat and then tastes like meat. Okay, now they call it a cultured meat and it's grown outside a live animal using real meat cells.
Okay.
Right. Mm-hmm. Now, the thing is that, you see, it's unveiled by the Memphis Meats, and animal protein cells are from cows, pigs, and chickens are, you know, you have like administrated from oxygen and nutrients like sugars and minerals and all until they grow into steak size samples.
Wow. So they're now growing meatballs.
Yes. Now, the process, it takes between 9 to 21 days. And they have produced hot dogs, sausages, burgers, as well as meatballs, which will be developed using recipes which perfected into half century by this award-winning chef. This chef is in the it's in the States. Yes.
Right. So technically, your story and my story are related.
Pretty much.
Because my story is about... No, listen, right? You think about how many cows are on this planet and they produce a heck of a lot of CO2, right? Which leads to global warming.
Yeah.
And that's why you'd need a research vessel to find out more about it.
Yeah. Would you eat it?
Yeah, of course. Of course. I'd like to sample it first, though.
Sure.
You know?
Meatballs.
Yeah, well, yeah. Just give it a try. You never know until you try, right?
Yeah.
Right. Andy Daryl Gomez.
Yes.
You know what time it is right now, don't you?
Oh, yes.
It sounds like this.
Smarty pants.
So then, you know the idea behind this, right?
Yes.
3 minutes, 30 questions to answer as many as you possibly can. If you don't know the answer, just say skip and we move right along. All right? Mm. The trick is not to stick on a question if you don't know it.
Okay.
So your 3 minutes start now. Who acted the part of Harry Potter in all of the 8 films?
Daniel Radcliffe.
Who played the male lead in the John Badham directed Saturday Night Fever?
John Travolta.
Which place has traditionally been considered to be the centre of London? Charing Cross or St. Paul's Cathedral?
The latter?
No, it's the first.
Okay.
What was the original name of Mickey Mouse given by Walt Disney? Mortimer or Oliver?
The first one.
Correct. Which ancient Greek is known as the father of history? Plato or Herodotus?
The second one.
It's the first one.
Too bad.
It was the second one, in fact. Herodotus, correct. Who is the author of The Interpretation of Dreams? The Interpretation of Dreams.
Pass.
Okay. Which Shakespearean play has the word dream in its title?
Midsummer Night's Dream.
Correct. What is Elvis Presley's middle name? Aaron or Paul?
The former.
It is. Aaron, indeed. Which company makes graphic design software called Fireworks? They make Photoshop too.
Pass.
Okay. What is the science of the study of fish called?
Aquaculture.
No, it's not. It's ichthyology.
Oh, sorry.
But just, you know, I knew that. You knew that. We all knew that. No, we didn't. What type of highly poisonous puffer fish is considered a delicacy in Japan?
I'm sorry, can you repeat that?
What type of highly poisonous puffer fish is considered a delicacy in Japan? Is it clownfish or fugu?
The first one.
It's fugu. Oh,
okay.
Who succeeded Tunku Abdul Rahman as Prime Minister of Malaysia?
Tunku Abdul Razak.
Correct. For which record-breaking album did Michael Jackson win 8 Grammys? Was it Thriller or Bad?
The first one.
Correct. What is the full name of Harry Potter's Hogwarts school?
Hogwarts School of Magic?
Witchcraft and wizardry. Close. What was the name of Bilbo's cousin who eventually destroys the ring by accident?
Pass.
Begins with F and ends in Rodo.
Fogo.
Correct. Which song was used by Microsoft to launch Windows 95? You've heard it on the show here tonight.
I'm sorry.
By the Rolling Stones? No?
No.
Okay. What is the name of SpongeBob SquarePants' pet snail, Hank or Gary?
Gary.
Which of these films were not made by Yasmin Ahmad? Talent Time, The Convert, or Love Conquers All?
The third one.
Correct. St. Patrick's Day falls on which month every year? June or March?
March.
Correct. In which European city is the headquarters of the European Union? Minsk or Brussels?
Brussels.
Correct. What is the favourite food of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles?
I have no idea, sorry.
Okay. Yeah. How old was Newton when the falling apple made him question how far the force of gravity reaches? Was he 21 or 23?
He was 23.
Correct, right. Mm. Time for a very short break, folks. We'll be back after these messages. Please do not go anywhere. You're listening to That Time of Night here on BFM 89.9. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. It is That Time of Night here on BFM 89.9. And that was Suede with It Starts and Ends with You.
Okay, Richard.
Anyway, so just before the break then, we were asking Andy Darryl Gomez a whole bunch of questions unrelated to really what he does for a living.
That's right.
We will find out how well he did in just a few minutes. Mm-hmm. Andy, how well do you think you did?
Okay, not bad.
Okay.
He was so nervous beforehand.
Very nervous,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. He was pacing.
As soon as you pushed the button,
okay?
You could see him go... Anyway, if you want to take part in our giveaway, of course, you have 3 minutes left. 016-201-9000. We're giving away a 150 ringgit from our friends over at Pestle and Mortar. The voucher expires at the end of this month, so you've got to get in quickly. The question is...
Tell us who invented the scissors. Send your name and your IC number to 016-201-9000. Don't forget to tell us why do you deserve to win as well.
Now then, as usual, what we'll do is go through some of the questions that Andy got wrong, and then we'll tell you how well he did.
Okay, so the first one. Which place has traditionally been considered to be the centre of London is Charing Cross. Which company makes graphic design software named Fireworks is Adobe. What is the science of the study of fish cult is ichthyology. Which type of highly poisonous puffer fish is considered a delicacy in Japan? It's fugu fish. Now, finally, which song was used by Microsoft to launch Windows 95? Start Me Up, Rolling Stone.
Ah, there you go. Right, so let's have one of these.
Ladies and gentlemen, Andy Darryl Gomez scored 15 points.
Well done, sir. Well done.
Well done.
Right then.
You see he's covering his face?
Right, yeah, he's embarrassed.
I don't know why.
That's a good
why?
Score. Come on.
Okay.
Right, so Andy Darryl Gomez, where can we see you next? What are you performing in? Where can we catch you?
Well, I'll be directing a show called Tiga, which is an independent project with supported by Five Arts Centre, which will be at the end of April.
Okay.
Yeah, so I'll be directing that one. So please come, it'll be wonderful.
Okay. Where would that be? Yes.
The
Five Arts Centre.
Do they have to pay?
Yes, they will be. But then we are yet to release the publicity material, so you guys can find out about it soon. Thank you very much.
Where can they find out? Where can they find out?
Next month, beginning of next month, yes.
When you've got your materials, you send it to us. We'll put it on the Facebook page. We'll get people to come along.
Wonderful. Thank you so much.
Okie dokie. As per usual, before we wrap up, so the answer to the question that we asked was, who invented the scissors? Allegedly, it is Leonardo da Vinci.
Yeah.
So if you answered correctly, we will be in touch with you later on this evening, or maybe tomorrow, depending on how quickly our SMS machine starts working again.
Is it not working again?
It's not working again.
Again?
So if you tried to get your messages through, they have actually come in. They are registered. We just don't see them yet. I don't know why. Maybe we need to pay for the software or something. Anyway, it's time for us to wrap up the show. We have a few silly facts like we do every single evening. Adeline, how many facts do you have for tonight?
I have two, but I'm going to mention one.
You can give us two tonight.
No, we have time. It's okay.
Do you want us forward sell style file as well? Because that's coming up shortly.
Yeah, that's 9 p.m. style file. I'll be on again.
Oh, again?
Yes, again.
Well, I wonder if people are sick of hearing your voice yet.
Are they? Let's
see.
So while I interview Shilin and Vivian of 23.
Okay. Right. Give me a fact then.
So China has more English speakers than the United States.
I am very not surprised.
You were in China before, right?
I was, yeah. They have weird names. Hello, my name is Rolex.
No, it's okay. My name is Rainbow.
Oh, nice to meet you, Rainbow. Like my Rolex? Let's get together.
Rolex.
Okay. Anyway, my fact is mosquitoes are attracted to people who just ate bananas.
Huh? Right. I didn't know that.
Now you do. Wow. You learn something every day.
Bananas.
Yes, banana. Anyway, it's time for us to wrap up, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you, Andy Darryl Gomez, for coming along. Been a pleasure to meet you.
Thank you for having me here. Seriously.
Come back
it's
again.
It's been fun. It's been
good.
Fun.
Thank you.
Good. Right, this has been That Time of Night. I've been Rich Bradbury.
And I'm Adeline Chung.
This
and
has been
Andy Darryl Gomez. Yes.
We're going to say goodnight. We'll leave you in the capable hands of Adeline Chung. She's going to stay in the studio for Style File. Don't go anywhere. Good night, folks.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.
Hi, welcome to the Subway ad for $2.99 subs. How would you like it?
I'll take Drill Sergeant, please.
You got it.
All right, now listen up. I want each and every one of you to drop and give me a 6-inch meatball marinara, cold-cut combo, veggie delight, or Black Forest ham on your choice of bread with any veggies you want for just $2.99 each.
Sir, yes, sir!
Subway! Make it what you want at participating restaurants. Additional charge for extras plus applicable tax. No additional discounts or coupons may be applied.